Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Foussard.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. Hey, ghosties.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I know. I'm not trying to do the British one, but you guys, you'll hear about it in a second. She started with, I have a confession. And so, like, I can't do my normal, hey, because I'm like, what confession
do
you possibly have? So, like, what's happening? What's happening?
So normally I'll think of stuff and I'm like, I should say this on the podcast. And then I don't because I forget about it. This time I actually made myself a note.
Outstanding.
And I just wrote Clue confession and I remembered it. Eva, I haven't watched Clue in 2 weeks.
Danielle.
I'll tell you why, Eva. I have discovered on Peacock, there is an entire channel dedicated to Ghost Hunters 24 hours. I have been watching it around the clock. I have been watching it during the day, the weekends, going to bed watching it. My daughter, she'll come in the home like, no, not Ghost Hunter. Yes, sweetie, Ghost Hunters. Yeah, we got more ghostified. I have been addicted. I love that show. But I realized the other day, I was like, I haven't watched Clue in 2 weeks. And I feel like I've been living this lie because people expect me now to watch it every night.
I mean, it's not a core part of your personality. You are allowed to vary.
It kind of is.
Okay. All right. It's a self-imposed expectation, if you will.
It is. That's fair. But this is the best discovery I have ever made. I can get rid of all other streaming apps now and probably just do Peacock because it's all I need. I have my Bravo on Peacock and I have Ghost Hunters. And I've said for years, if I can get to a point where all I have to do is pay for Bravo and Ghost Hunters, I would be set. And Peacock has made that happen. This is not endorsed or sponsored by Peacock in any way. I wish. I would love some Peacock money. But
I mean, we got reshared by Riverside this week. Maybe we'll get Riverside.
I know.
Maybe we'll get reshared by Peacock or Bravo or whatever.
Yeah. So we got reshared by Riverside because they added this new AI animation filter. Listen, the second I saw I could turn myself into a Muppet, I was like, I'm doing this now. I had so much work that day. So much
work.
You look
normal. You look normal as a Muppet there. I do not. Why do I have
Is that a compliment
teeth?
Or not?
Why is my mouth so small? Like,
that
why,
was the number one.
So weird.
Number one thing I heard back, what is with the teeth? Because even on mine, for the most part, there's no teeth. But then when I start talking, suddenly there's 200 teeth in my mouth. It's so weird.
Other than that, discriminated against? No, I feel discriminated against.
Oh, I loved it. Loved it. I was wondering why you didn't reshare it. Well, Riverside did. So I put your Muppet face all over the internet.
It's fine. That's not why I didn't reshare it. I've just been having a week. We'll get into that. It ties into today's topic, but I was having a week.
Well, good.
Yeah.
So on that, today's topic is having to follow up and pester your clients. No, not pester them, but the art of following up.
Well, wouldn't it be haunting because we're ghosts?
Like this. Haunting our clients.
Yes.
Well, I've had so many people, and have you had this too, where, and normally when I say that, of course you have, but.
I love it when you start with, have you had this very similar experience because we do the same line of work?
Yes. Yeah. Have you ever used Adobe Illustrator? Anyway.
Yes, I have.
No, but when I tell people, when I was going freelance, I told them I'm going to go freelance or I meet them for a first time and they might say, oh, I want to do that. Some of them very quickly jump to, but I hate having to follow up with people to get my money. And I thought, it's amazing how many people that's the one thing that is stopping you from a life of bliss is because I mean, you don't want to haunt people for money?
Right. Everybody just send them that Rihanna song about better have my money. And that's all you have to do. That you just send that. You just send you know the Spotify code of that
I'm,
to everybody.
I'm going to start attaching that to my invoices. Every single one. I'm just going to put the Rihanna song.
We will we'll follow up on how that's going for everyone. Yeah.
And Danielle suddenly loses 10 clients.
Whoopsies.
See? So I would say I've been fortunate. Most of my clients are very prompt to pay. You know, sometimes, of course, you have the clients that you need to nudge them a little bit because they don't have a whole finance team. It's usually the smaller accounts that you have to do a little bit more nudging. But do you have any good advice or good stories for when you might have to nudge people a little bit?
I already told you. I just send them the Rihanna song.
Do you really?
No, I'm joking. No, I do.
I don't know. I don't know. You might. And if that's effective, I might steal it.
I mean, I have a lot of fire in my chart. I'm pretty sassy. No. Okay. So it depends. So first off, once I've worked with somebody for a while, I will, like, I understand their payment cadence. So, like, I know certain clients are going to pay within a couple of days via this form, or I'm going to see a check within 5 days of sending it to this client, or I, you know what I mean? Like, and then some of them, like when I've done some work for a subsidiary, so it's like a company within a company within a company and their payments usually take 4 to 6 weeks. So, I know to not start like politely nudging until it's the 6 week mark. So that's the first thing, like understand like what's normal for your clients. Right.
Right.
And then typically if it's clients that I do regular work with, I just resend it when I send the new invoice. So like if I go to pull invoices for May and I realize they didn't pay their April hours, I'll just include it in the same email and be like, by the way, I noticed this was still outstanding. If this is working its way through your finance system or whatever, totally fine. Feel free to ignore. But if it's not, just wanted to kind of flag this. And everybody's always been real polite about it and real like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I was like, yeah, because I think everybody like acknowledges that like, you know, we're a small business and, you know, it's not like this is just a drop in the bucket. You know, if it's a significant invoice, like that might actually make a big deal in my like monthly finances. So, yeah, I've always just I'm trying to think. So like sometimes, too, it's not even about like you just have to like know the payment terms, which like is something I wasn't like I didn't always know to check on. So like one time I emailed to check in on like where they just wanted to see where, you know, my deposit was on this. And then I got back like, oh, well, we can't even pay you until net 90 because they were a state organization. So, you know, that's been a thing. Sometimes you can set like your sometimes I set my invoices to auto remind people if it's been too long. I don't do that with everybody, but I do it with a couple of clients that like maybe it's accounting who's getting the invoice and not like a person. So it just kind of depends.
Right.
So sometimes I do the auto reminder thing. I do implement a late fee percentage. I've only had to enforce it a couple of times when people were like, maybe only once where like somebody was like actively not paying the invoice. Most of the time it's like, oh, I know it's coming. So like, it's fine. But yeah, I haven't had to do a ton of it, I don't think.
Well, and I think the important thing to note there is that you brought up when you do have to bring it up, it's 99% of the time fine. They're just like, oh yeah, sorry about that. Or they give the reason. There's no reason to be in a place where you're nervous of having to do it. That's just part of the territory is having to follow up with people.
Yeah.
And so like, what's the worst case scenario? They're going to be like, we're not paying you. And then that's a whole other thing. But most of the time, a nice little reminder is needed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's because we're socialized to be uncomfortable talking about money.
That's a great point, actually.
I think it's mostly that because I feel comfortable emailing my rate to people or like or giving them a quote via email, I feel a little weirder about it doing it verbally. I feel real weird about doing it like face to face. And like, I think the money aspect, like the quoting the money, even like when I go to send the invoices, it feels so like businessy and formal when like normally our cadence is a lot more friendly. And like when I send my invoices, like I make a point to like ask them how their weekend was and like thank them as always for the work, or I really appreciate it. You know, so it's not just like, hi, so-and-so, here's your invoice. Thank you, Eva. Right. Like,
have
I don't
you
want
ever
to be
noticed
like that.
In, cause I know we both use FreshBooks. Have you ever noticed in there on the, when you're putting your invoice together, they give little recommendations and they write in there, invoices that use words like please and thank you are likely to get paid back faster. Yeah. And I'm like, well, of course they are. But the fact that, I kind of like that they put that, a little tip in there, because I'm sure people are just like, here, very business, straight to it. Here's what you owe me. But and also maybe it's because we live in the South too. Like we have to say please and thank you. And so I'm like, well, what? I'm going to put that in there anyway, but maybe I'll add an extra, please pay me at the end.
Well, I think about like when I receive an invoice, both when like, when I was working with like vendors like me, when I was like, when we would contract to freelancers, when I was working in-house, or like, even if somebody, like I had somebody come and do some yard work for me, right? Like just do some, like a big seasonal cleanup. And I appreciate when it's like, I, you know, thank you for the work, or like I appreciate you reaching out or whatever, because you know, you do have choices, right? Like they don't have to choose to work with us. And especially as solopreneurs, like I am appreciative of every single job I get, every dollar you pay me, anytime you give my name to somebody, all of that. Like this business is not built in a vacuum. So I think those small things go a long way and they mean a lot to me. Like when I read them. So,
I will sometimes that auto reminder feature. I like, I'll do that sometimes on a new client that I haven't worked with before that I just need to, I don't know if they are the type that are going to pay promptly or if they're going to need some reminders. And then once I learn that, I turn that off just so in case they happen to pay later. But one thing I had to do recently, I've had a client that I've worked with since the start of my company and they've always paid electronically. And so last month I looked and I got a check in the mail from them. I was like, that's weird. And I even go on to like the service that they use and I check with the support and I'm just like, hey, just want to make sure before I check in with my client if why there's a change. And because I was just so, I didn't want them to think that like, it was an inconvenience to me. I'll take their money however they want me to take their money. It's fine. But it had been that way for over a year that I've been getting it electronically. And so finally I reached out to them today just to see like, is there anything that changed or I need to do differently on my end? And they just, it was an accident. Something changed and I just had to get them, resend them my form and we're back to electronic payments. But it's funny. It's like just, I don't want to inconvenience you or make you think that I don't like working with you, but I'm just trying to make sure everything's still in line. But yeah, if I would have just not been nervous about it, it would have been fine because they had a perfectly normal response.
Yeah. Have you ever had to follow up because you got paid twice?
I got one client paid me too much.
I got double paid once. I got paid
twice. Okay, so how did you handle this?
So I had some other ongoing work for them. Somebody paid the invoice with a credit card and then somebody else ran it through accounting. And I got, so then I got a check. And so I emailed the marketing director when I got the check and was like, your invoice is caught up. I just got a check. I can do one of two things. I can destroy it because you're already paid or I have some work coming up. If it's not going to mess up your accounting system, as far as like it coming out of the wrong budget or whatever, I can apply this to the stuff I'm working on right now. And that's what he had me do so that they didn't have to like cancel out the check and stuff like that. So
no, I had, they just flat out wrote the wrong amount and it was too much. It was the first time I had been paid by them. And I was just kind of looking at like, what would they put in a tip? I was so caught off guard. I was like, and so I messaged a friend of mine who had worked with them before and was recommended me to them. And I was like, hey, have they ever paid you the wrong amount? Like too much. And I think that did happen to him too one time. So I just reached out. I did the same thing. I was just, because I had work that was coming in from them for the next month too. I'm like, I could just give you a credit. But just kind of some advice. Don't just hold on to that money. Tell your client they paid you too much. Yeah. You learn some respect from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like they'll eventually figure it out if you don't tell them. So tell them.
Yeah, they're going to see it.
They're going to see it. So tell them. I had to do that once. I had to follow up once for that. I did some follow ups this week, not about money. I've been really busy, as y'all know. And then I finished up a couple bigger projects recently. And then so like I had some time to like go get caught up on some stuff. So I followed up on some outstanding projects. Those are always fine. I mean, like, it's just that's a lot less awkward than money. But I was just like, hey, one of them, it's been a while. And I was like, I'm sure y'all are still talking internally. Just checking in.
I had one that we had multiple meetings and it really felt like it was going somewhere. They seemed super excited to get to work with me. And then I just didn't hear from them. It was just didn't hear from them. And it happened to be during a time where I was just slammed. So I just kind of was like, that's just the timing of things. It didn't work out. So funny, this week I had someone reach out to me about potentially working with me, and they were recommended to me by the potential client that I thought was just off the radar. And then that person told me that they just had to put the project on the back burner. And I was like, oh, it wasn't me. It's not me, Eva.
Yeah, it's not me.
I was like, okay. But there are some times where I will follow up to a degree, but sometimes if it's just not the right timing, I also will just kind of, I will let that simmer out if it needs to. But if it's someone that like we've had a couple meetings and then suddenly they're gone, they're like, that's a little weird, but it happens sometimes. But I was happy to hear it wasn't on a me thing.
No. Yeah. I'd say probably 25% of my cold proposals, meaning they're people I have not worked with in the past.
Yeah.
Like 25% just go unanswered.
Yes. That I would say that's fair. I would agree. And probably it's been the same.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, and sometimes they go unanswered because the project dies. Sometimes they go unanswered because it goes on the back burner and then nobody got back to you or whatever. And so sometimes I follow up, sometimes I don't know. It just kind of depends. Like, how big of a project was it? Did they flag something in the process where like I knew we had to get started on a certain date? In which case I do follow up ahead of that. But
I
don't know. Sometimes I'm like, I'm on your schedule. You let me know when you're ready.
Exactly.
So it's fine. It's fine.
You know what I hate though? And I hate when it happens, but it's when someone has to follow up with me. And oh man, I hate that. Like, and or it's not even that I'm behind. It's just maybe I didn't communicate well enough when I was going to get something to them. And they're like, hey, just checking in. Just want to see where you're at with that. And I was like, well, I had it on my list for Thursday, but I guess we weren't on the same page about that. And or it doesn't happen a lot, but when it happens.
Or if they don't give you a deadline, that happens to me. They'll just be like, just checking in. I was like, well, okay, you can, but you told me no rush and they told me rush. So I'm are the worst in the no rush that. File.
I have a friend that I've been doing some pro bono work with, and I feel bad because it's been one of those things that it's like, I will get to it when I get to it. There is no deadline on it. But then he even checked in on me. He's like, hey, any chance you're going to have those files soon? And I finally just said to him, like, look, here's how it is. Even if it's pro bono, even if it's like there's no deadline, lie to me. Just tell me there is a
make
deadline.
Make up something.
The problem is when I have too much work and I'm moving everything around, what gets bumped first? The one with no deadline.
No deadline stuff.
Like I just need a deadline no matter what. Because even if I put the deadline on it, it doesn't mean anything to me unless someone else put the deadline on me.
I mean, I can make myself self-imposed ones, but if I know it's made up, like, well, it gets moved.
So that's the thing. I'm good if I put the deadline on, unless a ton of other stuff comes up that I didn't put deadlines on. They were put on there for me, and then things get moved around.
Yeah.
But I get so frustrated with myself if it ever reaches the point that someone has to follow up with me. I'm fine following up with people. But if they have to follow up with me, I'm like, ah, damn it. I didn't do this fast enough.
There was one project I worked on a couple weeks ago, and it was on my to-do list for later that day. And they followed up that morning, and it was fine. There was no rush on it. But like, I almost like sent them a screenshot of my to-do list to be like, I wasn't making it up when I said it was on my list for today. It is.
I had one of those, and I was like, they're going to think that I'm lying. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to tell them I'm literally going to send it to you tomorrow. And that's going to sound like I wasn't going to do it until you just reminded me. But truthfully, it has been on my list for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you just happened to email me today.
Yeah.
I'm not a liar.
No, I'm busy and I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. But sometimes too, I mean, there's been some people I've reached out to just to see if there's any work and or if they ever want to work together, and they don't have anything at the time, and that's fine. Eva, I had one come up last week and they asked me for a very fast turnaround, and May, I'm just slammed. There's too many projects, and I have been wanting to work with them, and I had to write the email to tell them I could not hit that deadline. And then I text a friend of mine that's the creative director there. And I was like, I just need you to know it pained me to send that email. And he was like, you know, I just wanted to make sure you knew you're still on our list. And I was like, I know, but it pained me to not be able to do that for you.
It happens. It happens.
I know. Time is a big deal sometimes. So on that note, we're going to cut this one short because we want to talk about our summer plans.
Yes.
Much like season one, we are taking the summer off from recording because, as you all know, Eva and I are both moms, and summers get insane with schedules. So our plan is we're going to have two more episodes to this season, and then we will take a break shortly after the start of June. So you have about two more weeks to catch up on all your Ghost Boss episodes before that finale.
Yeah. So we'll take a break for the summer. It's interesting. I was thinking about this today because I just finished up some like two really big projects. And I remember at the end of last summer, you were like, I had a slow summer. And I was like, I did not. and so like these two bigger things like just kind of wrapped up. And I was like, am I going to have a slow summer? Maybe. I hope not. I don't want a slow summer.
I was like, I don't want a slow summer. It's part of why we don't record over the summer, because I want to be more selective of what I take on. But you're just shaking. No.
I want to work. I want to work. We are recording this. This is going to come out in a couple days. So this is going to come out like mid-May.
Yes.
I've texted some people, I've emailed some people, but also if you're listening, I have a slow summer so far. If you need a thing, call me.
You know what? I'm going to just say it. We're manifesting right now. And I'm going to say by the time this episode airs, you're going to have a summer booked.
A summer booked. That's right. I mean, to be clear, like I still have lots of steady work in the summer. I just had two bigger things wrap in the last couple of weeks that normally take up a lot of time. And so I was looking, I was like, oh my gosh. So give me something to do this summer, y'all.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's my follow-up. That's how I follow up. I get on the podcast.
Give me something to do.
I get on the podcast and I tell them to give me work, and then I send them the Rihanna song, and then that's how I do it. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do.
Sounds like a successful business plan to me.
I'll let y'all know when we come back next season how it worked out.
Yeah, season three might not happen. No.
Fine. It's fine.
We'll be back, we promise.
Yeah, no, I promise. I just, you know, maybe one day Ghostboss will be monetized to the point where, like, we can pay somebody to edit the social.
That's
we
the goal.
I kind of like just being the talent. I mean, it's nice.
Yeah, I'd like to get to a point where we don't have to do the work.
Yeah, you've never been just the talent on this podcast. I was for a few months because I was getting divorced.
Yeah,
you were very kind.
First season?
It was great. It was great. You were very kind to get this thing off the ground. And then once like I had my life back in order, you're like, love that for you. Totally here. By the way, you got to pick one. You're editing or you're doing social. And I was like, well, I'm not going to do social. And you're like, that's fine. You're going to edit from now on. I was like, okay.
It went well.
No, it went great. No, it's and that allocation of labor is totally appropriate. But also one day I would love to get back to just being the talent. We just pay somebody to do all this. Or you can sponsor us.
Yeah.
We can do it in like a sponsorship trade situation. I don't know.
We're looking for that.
Yeah. Let me know.
So. All right. Well, with that, we will be back next week with our second to last episode of the season.
Oh my gosh. It'll be season two, episode 29. Yeah. This is 28.
You're
right?
Asking me to do math. Yes. This is 28.
I think this is
29. We're trying to get to 30. Let's see if it happens.
30, which is just crazy because, like, that means we have 60 something episodes. It's bananas. Yeah.
It's bananas.
So, anywho. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also, please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.